God's word today comes to us, first of all, in Proverbs. Who can find a wife with strong character? She is worth far more than jewels. She dresses with strength and nobility, and she smiles at the future. She speaks with wisdom, and on her tongue there is tender instruction. She keeps a close eye on the conduct of her family, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children and her husband stand up and bless her. In addition, he sings her praises by saying, "Many women have done noble work, but you have surpassed them all." Charm is deceptive. Beauty evaporates, but a woman who has the fear of the Lord should be praised. Reward her for what she has done, and let her achievements praise her at the city gates. The Word of God, Proverbs 31. From John 14, our text for our message, our life lesson today, John 14, 20 through 21. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever knows and obeys my commandments is the person who loves me. Those who love me will have my Father's love, and I too will love them and show myself to them. This is the Word of God. You know, I love my mom, but I take her for granted. Always have. I love my God, but I take him for granted too. I take their love for granted. And I just want to be honest with God and confess to him that I am a sinner, that I need his forgiveness. And I'm confident as I do this because God has promised that he is faithful and just and forgives all of our sins. And I encourage you to be confident with me and pray the prayer. Oh Lord, it's easy for me to take my relationship with my mom for granted. I don't thank God or mom enough for all the time they've invested in me, for all the values that they've taught, for all the love they've shared, and for all the sacrifices they've made. I haven't honored my God and my mom adequately. For these sins and for all others, forgive me. Many of the things in this world will go away. They'll just disappear. They'll be destroyed. But there are some things that we get to experience right now, right here, that we'll experience in an even greater measure when we are with God in heaven. One of those things is love. Love will always remain. It does go on and on and on. And it's because Jesus loved you, because God loved you and still loves you, that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that if you believe, you have everlasting life with him, a better life now and eternal life forever. So receive that forgiveness, this word from Jesus to you today. Your sins are forgiven. In the name and the power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's rejoice in that love that goes on and on and on, that always remains. It's time for the children's message, so come on up. Good morning. So we have the box today, but we're not going to use it. You know why? Because today's a special day. What day is it today? It is Mother's Day. And what's so special about Mother's Day? Yeah. You do what your mom says. That'll make your mom's day special. So moms do a lot of work, and maybe the dad is at work or school, huh? Yeah, so Mother's Day is about thanking mom for all that she does, and what else? And for giving us life, right? For having us in the first place, right? We wouldn't even be here if it weren't for our moms. What else? Yeah, that's right. So we need moms just to even have life on earth. Yeah, so there are lots of reasons to thank God for moms today and to have a special day for mom. I mean, every day we should do, right? But today especially we want to make sure that we honor her, that we celebrate her and celebrate all that she does for us. In what ways are moms a little bit like God? Things they have in common, yes. They give us care. Oh, right, they both have a role in creating us. Wouldn't even exist. Yeah, so God and moms are part of the reason why we're here. What else? So moms do a lot of things that they don't really like to do. You know this? They do a lot of things that they don't really like to do, but they do it, huh? Like chores, yeah, like chores. They do things that they don't like to do. Why do they do them? Because they know that that's going to be what's best. We make sacrifices. That's what we call that. When we do stuff that we don't really want to do or like to do, but we do it for the good of somebody else, that's a sacrifice. Yeah. That's right. So they end up having to do stuff that nobody else wants to do, and if they can get away with not doing it, they probably won't. But why do they do that? Because they love us. That's a God-like love. Because God did something he didn't really want to do, right? Jesus did something he didn't really want to do. Prayed that he wouldn't have to do it when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he did it anyway. So what did he do? What did he pray that he wouldn't have to do? Yeah, he didn't want to die. He didn't want to have to go through that pain and agony, but he did it anyway. He sacrificed his life for you and me. So that shows his great love for us. In the same way, when our moms do sacrificial things for us, that shows us their great love for us too. And so let's thank God, and let's thank moms, and thank God for our moms in prayer. Pray with me. Dear God, thank you so much for mom's help and care and love and sacrifice. Thank you for your love, for your help, your care, and your sacrifice. So God's word today comes to us in John chapter 14. If you brought your Bibles, you might want to turn there. Identity, values, and love. What a challenging time to be a mom. I thought I'd share a little story about how challenging it is to be a mom these days. Two children ordered their mother to stay in bed one Mother's Day morning. And as she lay there looking forward to being brought breakfast in bed, the smell of bacon floated up from the kitchen. Finally, the children called her to come downstairs. She found them both sitting at the table eating bacon and eggs. As a surprise for Mother's Day, one explained, we decided to cook our own breakfast. Not exactly what mom was expecting. Or here's some one-liners that moms had turned in. You spend the first 2 years of your life teaching them to walk and talk. Then you spend the next 16 telling them to sit down and shut up. And another mom wrote this. She said, we child-proofed our home 3 years ago, and they're still getting in. Or here's some advice for the day. If you have a lot of tension and you get a headache, do what it says on the aspirin bottle. Take 2 aspirin and keep away from children. The main purpose of holding children's parties, one mom wrote, is to remind yourself that there are children who are more awful than your own. Mothers of teens know why animals eat their young. And another one wrote, I asked mom if I was a gifted child. She said, certainly they wouldn't have paid for me. Yeah, so that one's not so nice. But there just really is no relationship, at least healthy relationship, here on earth more intimate than a healthy relationship between a mother and a child. The only one that comes close, in fact, it surpasses it, is the relationship between God and between true Christians, between you and God. So if you're not a mom, then you can still listen to the sermon and get something out of it, because we're going to talk about two kinds of loves, the love of a mom for a child and the kind of love that God has for you and for me. So you see, it's going to all apply because you all have a mom, maybe not a mom that loved you a lot. Sometimes that happens. Maybe a mom that wasn't there. Sometimes that happens. But you still have a mom who gave you life, and you still have a loving father who loves you no matter what. So God's love for us and our mom's love, they teach us so much, God and moms, right? At home, we learn things. We learn things like who we are. We learn our identity at home, and a lot of that comes from our moms, and a lot of that comes from our God. John 14, verse 20, Jesus says, "On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and that you are in me, and that I am in you." There are a lot of ends in that phrase, right? A lot of ends in that passage. And in Greek, there are all different kinds of words, prepositions that you can use that talk about relationships, things like being beside somebody or near somebody. There are prepositions for being on or upon or through somebody or of somebody. That's not the preposition that when Jesus is describing his relationship with Father God, he says, "He is in me and I am in him." And furthermore, he says, "Whoever is in me, I am in them." It goes both ways. And that in Greek means you occupy the same space. You are in union with that person. And all of you were in union with your mother. You were a part of your mother. You took up the same space, right? You were located. You were co-located in the same spot. And God is now saying, through Jesus, that if you are in him, then he is in you. And if we are in him, then we are also in our Father, because the Father is in him. So we have the same location. We are in union. And we have a word for this here on our world. When we talk about our moms, we talk about how our moms invest in us. They pour their life into us. Here's the interactive part of the message today. So how do moms invest in their children? For me, my mom spelled love F-O-O-D or C-O-O-K. She was a great cook. She was a professional cook. She was amazing. I still love to eat. She cooks. She doesn't cook as much anymore. It's just harder for her to do. Great memories of great meals. And that's just one. Poured her life into her children by the cooking that she did. What are some other ways that mom their life into their children? Yeah. They sacrifice a lot of time. A lot of time. They sacrifice a lot of time. What else? Drive them all over creation and back. And in some places, we're not even sure if they're part of creation, right? So, yeah, all over. What else? Justice and or mercy, not all at one time, usually. Yeah, justice and mercy. They pray for us. They introduce us to Jesus. Demonstrate by their life what it means to be a child of God. So there's just so much that we get from our moms. Our moms just pour themselves into us. Moms show us how important we are. They show us that we're important. They pour their lives into us. God pours his life into us too, right? Jesus poured his life out on a cross. And that life then gets poured into our lives so that our sins are taken away and we receive instead his righteousness, his life, his forgiveness. He conquers death and sin and hell. He frees us from sin and death and hell and gives to us instead a better life right now and eternal life with him forever in heaven. He gives us joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and all kinds of other gifts. He's always pouring into us. And it's not just something he did way back when on a cross, but it's something he does today. You are being poured into whenever you hear God's word. You're being poured into right now by God as you receive. of his gifts and his benefits from his word, from the sacraments when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, when you remember your baptism and that you are in Christ and in his death, and through his death, the old person that was you, the old sinful flesh-centered person is changed. It dies, and instead you receive his forgiveness and life, and you get his resurrected life, and you get to do good things. You get to be more like Jesus. You get to be more controlled by the Holy Spirit. All of that happens anytime we're in God's word or the sacraments. And just like God, moms love us no matter what. They love us just because we are, just because we exist. They love us just because, as my wife says. Now, moms, do you love your kids more when they behave? I don't think so. I think it's just easier when they behave. It's easier to love them when they are doing things that are pleasing to you. You like them more when they're behaving. You like them more when they're doing pleasing things for you, but you love them no matter what. You love them just because they exist. And that's a great thing about a mom's love. That's a great thing about a dad's love, too. But we'll talk about that on Father's Day. But that's also the great thing about our Father. He's not counting on us to behave. It's not like he's not going to love us when we do bad. He's still going to love us. He's going to love us just as much. It might be easier for him to love us when we're behaving, when we're doing God-pleasing things. But he'll love us no matter what. And our moms love us that way too, just because we exist, at least healthy moms. So the first thing that we talked about is at home we learn our identity. Our identity ultimately is in Christ. It's in Christ. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. That's what makes us who we are. But we also learn what's expected of us from our moms and from God. We learn what's expected of us. John 14, 21a. Whoever knows and obeys my commandments is the person who loves me. Now, this particular translation is not the best because it says knows my commandments. The actual word there in Greek means has. Whoever has commandments, has and obeys my commandments is the person who loves me. And why is that distinction important? Because if you have something, that means, wait a minute, it's God's commandment, so it comes from God. That means it's a gift. Think about God's commandments as a gift. They are. You know, God didn't give us commandments and say, you know what, if you live according to these commandments, then I will deliver you from slavery in Egypt. Then I will send plagues against your enemies. Then I will make a way for you in the Red Sea. So I will bring you into a land of milk and honey. No, he delivered them first. He brought them out of Egypt with an outstretched arm, with a strong and mighty hand. And he brought them through the Red Sea first. And then he brought them through the wilderness to Mount Sinai first. And then, after he had delivered them and given them identity, then he says, now that you know who you are, let me help you meet my expectations. Here's a way that you can please me, since I've done something that's pleasing. Since I've given you life and delivered you and rescued you, here's a way you can show your appreciation. Plus, he knows this world. He knows this world before sin entered into it and what's best in this world. And he also knows how people are, even after sin has entered. And he gives his commandments because he knows what's best for us. And when we live according to his commandments, ultimately that's not only best for us, it's best for the people around us, it's best for the entire world. He asks us to obey his commandments. Now, when you see commandments, this means in the broad sense, everything that God asks us to do, everything that's pleasing to God, is involved in that. But that's a big thing, right? That's a lot of knowing scripture to be able to say what all those things are. But we have these great summary, the summary that God gave when he wrote his commandments. You got to know that these are the most important ones on tablets of stone and gave them to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. So we call those the Ten Commandments. That's what God calls them, the Ten Commandments. So that's a nice summary to think about. But when you see this passage, think about all of Scripture and what Scripture says and God says is pleasing to Him, because it includes that too. An unfortunate thing in our world today, in our culture today, and even in Christians' minds and hearts today, because we are so influenced by our culture, is that feelings have supplanted God's law. Feelings have gotten in the way of, many times, what God wants us to do. Most people, if you were to ask them what is right and good, they would say, well, whatever I feel is good and right, or whatever I think is good and right, or even whatever I believe is good and right. But all those answers have one thing in common, the I. Let me ask you a question. Are feelings a good thing to base your behavior on? Not always. Because, you know, feelings change, right? Have you ever had a feeling that's changed? Felt good about something at one time and not feel good something about it later? Or even your thoughts. Thoughts can change too. And usually, you know, if you're really rational about it, our thoughts improve. We get better at thinking and we learn from our mistakes and we change our thinking. But that doesn't always take place. Sometimes we get stuck in our thinking and that thinking is wrong-headed and causes us problems and causes other people problems. And so thoughts aren't always a great way either. And when you think about it, what is the source of all of the conflicts that we have in our life? What is it that breaks up relationships, that causes divorce, that causes conflict and turmoil and terrorism and war? It's when one person has a thought or idea based upon feelings or thoughts that differs from what another person feels or thinks is good and right. There are a couple of guys who thought that they knew what was best for their countries. One thought, you know, it would be better. The world would be a better place if we killed these Ukrainian farmers who aren't doing a good job of farming, and if we replaced them with somebody else. And so he just killed a bunch of people in the Ukraine, and things actually got worse. So then he took over all the farms and collectivized them, and that didn't work either. So he blamed the collective farmers for doing that and had a bunch of them killed. And then anybody who disagreed with him, he had them killed. And who am I talking about? Well, Joseph Stalin. Or there's another guy that you maybe have heard of, and he thought, you know, the world would be a better place if we got rid of all the non-German people who are living in German lands. If we just pushed them out into like Poland and Lithuania and Latvia and just get rid of them. If we pushed all the people we don't want, and not just Jewish people, but also people who disagree with us and people who are gypsies, who aren't German. And let's just push them out there and let's force them to work for us and to farm for us and to produce for us. But when that didn't work, then they said, well, this is a problem because these are people who need to eat and we need the food, and so let's just starve them. But they weren't dying fast enough. So they're not really working out as our slaves very well. So let's just put them into concentration camps and let's build trucks where the exhaust goes in the inside and kill them in the trucks, but then you got to clean them all out. Well, that didn't work so well. Let's build showers and gas them, you know, using this gas that we discovered is good for rats. Also, Stalin and Hitler, they thought they had a better idea, that they could make the world a better place by killing a bunch of people. 16 million people died. These are non-combatants. They weren't military people. They weren't in the war. 1 million civilians. Because they had a different idea of what was right. Our feelings, our thoughts are not a good basis. We need God's word, his revealed will. What's pleasing to him. Ultimately, that will make our lives better. That will make the lives of those around us better. Ultimately, that will make the world a better place. Well, I know that's pretty heavy stuff, so let's lighten it up. I want to tell a funny story. This is from Dave Barry, a humor writer, used to write for the paper. Love can be wonderful, but it can also be very destructive. It can cause people to lie, to cheat, to commit murder, and worst of all, to write lyrics like these. Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? And if you're my age, you know that those are the lyrics from a song called Close to You by the Carpenters. With tongue firmly planted and cheek, Barry continues, you frankly have to ask yourself, do you really want to be near anybody who causes birds to appear suddenly? I mean, didn't Alfred Hitchcock do a horror movie about that? Life principles that grow out of faith are better than those that grow out of feelings or grow out of thoughts. All of God's commands. That's a lot. Now, fortunately, God has given us some summaries, right? We have what's called the Great Commandment in God's Word, and it's written in a couple different places in the Gospels. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And God, Jesus says that all the law and the prophets, so everything that's written in the Old Testament, is fulfilled in those two commands. It's summarized by those two commands. So the law of love, this is a really good thing to base your life on. Probably not enough just to say that because, well, what's loving? You know, we need to define that. One way that Jesus does this is by giving us what we call the golden rule. Jesus didn't call it. It's still a good name for it. When he says, you know, basically do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then again, we have the Ten Commandments, a summary of all of God's teachings. What is pleasing to God, a summary of what is God's will for us. What ultimately makes for a better life for not just us, but for others. So at home, through our moms and through God, we learn what's expected of us. We learn our values. And thirdly, at home we learn about true love because our moms love us like crazy and God loves us even more. John 14, 21b, those who love me will have my Father's love, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Everyone has a huge need for love. You might think you can do without this, but you cannot. You must have love in your life, especially when you're confronted with change, with transition, with problems and difficulties. Then we especially need God's love. Patsy Claremont tells a story about a young man that she met on an airplane. Patsy Claremont is a women's speaker. She does a lot of women's conferences, retreats. She flies all over the United States. She was riding home after a conference and met this young man who was going home. He had just done his first deployment, military, and spent a year and a half away. And he was in the middle of armed conflict, so he was a GI. Saw a lot. And he was afraid. He basically told Patsy that he was nervous about it. He wanted to go home, everything inside of him, but he was just afraid of what would happen. He was afraid that people would expect that he would be a hero and that they would treat him differently because they thought he was something that he was not. And he was afraid that he had changed too much, that the war had hardened him, that combat had made him into a different. And so he was concerned about that. When all he really wanted to do was go home and tell Mom, Mom, you have no idea how important those letters that you kept writing me, how important they were to me, how I hung on every word. He also told Patsy that he really wanted to hear his nephew, who had just learned how to talk, say Uncle Michael, which he had. But he was nervous and afraid. And Patsy said, oh, don't worry. Your mom's going to love you no matter what. Your family's going to love you no matter what. No matter if you have changed, they will still love you. They will still just be so excited to see you. They will still welcome you with open arms. And then later, the attendant came by to get the drink order and all that kind of stuff. And Patsy slipped a little note that she had written to the attendant, and that attendant took that little note and took it up to the cockpit where a pilot read it and made a decision, and he picked up the intercom, and this is what he said. It has come to my attention that we have a VIP on board. He's a returning GI in seat 12F. As a representative of this airline and a citizen of the United States of America, I salute you, Michael, and thank you for a job well done. And the entire plane erupted in applause. Now, do you think that made Michael feel welcome? Do you think maybe give him a little more confidence and courage now as he was making his way home with all of his uncertainties and his. And we have a Father in heaven who welcomes us with open arms, who welcomes us with applause, who welcomes us and says, I love you no matter what. You just tell me what's bothering you. You just tell me your joys. You just tell me what's on your mind. I just want to welcome you and love you. Maybe you grew up in a family that was dysfunctional. Maybe you grew up in a family where there was abuse. Maybe you grew up in a family where mom was not, or dad was not there, or neither. God still welcomes you. God loves you. He can make up for everything that you missed out on, and then some. And you have a family here. A family here with Word of Life Fellowship. Loves you, who wants what's best for you, who will welcome you with open arms, who will hear what you have to say and serve you and care for you and help you. Everyone needs a home where they receive and learn identity, where they find out who they are. Everyone needs a home where they learn what's expected of them, where they hear and learn what values are. Everyone needs a home where they learn love, where they experience love and care and support. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life our moms gave us and for the sacrifices that they have made for us. We thank you for a life and love which are even greater than the love and life from a mom, and that's the life from your own hand. Lord, we thank you for investing in us and giving us your laws, your will, and love. And we thank you that all of that gives us a better life now and eternal life with you in heaven. We thank you for our guests and for those who invited and brought them. We thank you for successful dental surgery for Peggy and for her brother who covered the cost of that. We thank you for Jim Weissman, who is recovering well from knee surgery, and for the healing that you've given to him. We thank you for new and better employment for Darren only 3 days after being laid off. We thank you for over $159,000 given so far to our Therefore Go Building Fund. We thank you for those who've adopted a missionary and will be supporting them with prayer and provision. We thank you for all the blessings and resources that you've entrusted to our care and your promise to multiply them to build a bigger heaven and better lives. We also thank you for Thomas Randolph and Sarah, who were married yesterday. We ask that you would inspire and empower us now to provide homes and a church home where others can learn identity, values, and true love. We ask that you would bless missionary pastor Josue Malikowski and the people of Bom Pastor as they reach out to people in Floriano, Brazil, and beyond. You bless Pastor Brent Smith and the work of Mission Central as they reach out to people throughout the world. That you bless our government to provide justice and protection for the good of all its people. That you bless our leaders with your wisdom and guidance, that they would lead according to your will. That you bless victims of persecution, violence, terrorism, and disaster. That you bless and protect our troops and their families, especially Ian and Juan. We pray for new or better employment for Kevin, Jamie, Anne Marie, and Chaplain Malone. We pray for a healthy pregnancy for Carly and Sharon. That you bless financial peace, university participants. That you bless Tara and Nicole as they start new ministries. That you would heal those who are fighting depression, fear, or self-harm. Pray that you bless caregivers and those for whom they care. We pray for mercy and certain hope for Catherine and Dot as they live their last days. We pray for the family and friends of Royce as they mourn his death. We pray for healing for Janet Mitschke, that you heal Patricia, Jean, Bob, Elfie, Jenna, Maria, Ray, Junior, Alina, Nicole, JC, Kaylin, Joan, Adriana, Anne-Marie, Coleman, Hayden, Rick, Paul, Skip, Monica, Chelsea, Patty, William, Denise, Sarah, Linda, TC, Aubrey, Gilbert, Benny, Danielle, Ed, Courtney, Brenda, Lynn, Charlie, Larry, Ethan, TJ, Tom, Morgan, Chris, Renee, Renee, Abby, Cecile, Riley, and Wesley. Pray for healing for those who are battling cancer, especially Rita, Sarah, Alexis, Becky, Elward, Jean, Larry, Ross, Tom, James, Kathy, Jeanette, Fred, Sarah, John, Twyla, Regan, Kevin, Harold, and that you would strengthen their families. And Lord, finally, we pray that you would bless people and introduce them to Jesus through us. We pray this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive a blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and be gracious unto you. The Lord upon you with his favor, and give you his peace. Amen.